Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in.
Now that we're all together, welcome everyone to Meaningful Mischief. Welcome back. We're excited. This is our favorite thing to do. I'm talking to my two best friends. And today we're talking about connection. And it's really funny because I've been thinking for a long time about how a lot of us, if we're entrepreneurs, we run businesses, we've done things on our own, we've achieved some things, we've failed, we've succeeded, all these things. And it takes a high degree of self-reliance and independence to do that. And so I've been thinking about in the last couple of years, like this relationship between independent, strong, self-reliant, and then also the ability to be vulnerable and be intimate with others and have that connection. Is being so strong and self-reliant a barrier to intimacy and connection? That's my big question of the day.
How do you feel about that, James?
Well, firstly, can I say hello as well?
Nah. Hello. Yeah, let me say it for you. Okay. Hi, everybody. Okay, James, go.
So we had like 5 seconds literally talking about what we're going to talk about. And I started blurbing. We said, look, stop, let's record. So I will go with it. First thing I want to say is we have to lose control.
And I'm going to
we have to gain control
like
to lose control.
I've got nothing figured out. I'm getting frustrated.
And what I mean by that,
the people that I think I can rely on, I can't. The
I think we go through stages.
Control,
and I'm going
I
through a stage
have.
Right now of frustration.
And you know what?
So
frustrates
I think we
me
go through stages
say,
where we feel
so
like
nice,
we've got to figure it
nice
out,
guy,
either with relationships or people,
you're very quietly spoken,
success or things around us.
I get worked up inside.
Life happens and
I go, I've got zero.
I'll use the same phrase that I said for 5 seconds is that I woke up even this morning because we talked about it, so it's nearly on a daily basis. I go through this phase of where do I get this balance? Try and find the balance of today. And at the minute I go, do you know what? I'm just going to start being a dick. And this is where the whole vulnerability thing. Hang on, stop. I think we need to go back.
We can bleep it out. Play.
First of all, I don't think we should be bleeping stuff out. I think I've said like shit on this podcast before. I think you can totally say this because this is what people think. They're like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to be a dick today because of, I think it's fine. And if people get offended, they don't have to listen.
Okay,
it's real.
I'm going to use the word ass, not dick.
No, because
I've got some.
Yeah.
But no, so this is what's interesting. As I observed,
I shouldn't have done that. It's just when I heard you both saying beep, but I was like, oh my god, have I just said that?
That's the fun part, man.
Okay.
That was my beep.
By the way,
here it comes. Beep. It's
you're
perfect.
You're not allowed to beep people. You're not allowed to beep people because that you're editing people.
I'm not editing. I'm having fun. I'm being mischievous. Okay. That was my version of beep because it's like here it comes. Wait for it. Wait for it. Boom.
Okay. Just for the record, I don't think we should edit any of this out because this is a huge part of like the mission is to be honest and to be open. And we're stumbling through this stuff. And people might not want to hear this. And then they can fast forward. They can click to a new episode. But in my view, James, this is an important discussion. You are an incredibly nice human. And some days you're like the world and the people and everything is disappointing me. And clearly in order to get by, I need to be a dick. And so now this puts the conversation out there in real terms for people. So in my view, this all goes, including this little discussion and the beeping and the Stell and all the things.
Okay. Let's go. But you are still recording or what?
Totally recording. I stopped for like a half a second and then Stell's like, start recording. And so then I did.
So where do we pick it up then?
We are picking it up. So the thing, every time we have these conversations, I'm writing things down because it's stimulating something in my mind in terms of what it means for me. Right. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you said what you said, to me, it's more of the masculine essence in you, which is what drives you as the entrepreneur that people may not necessarily see, but they can experience, right? Mm-hmm. And what we're communicating, maybe communicating in different ways, but all of a sudden now, where we're comfortable, either, and by masculine, I just mean charge driven, right? And then feminine is empathetic connectedness, right? Which is part of my unique ability. And then in order to be able to connect to other people, we need to connect ourselves and to connect in those areas that we don't necessarily want to connect to, right? So then life shows us, and you know, we have these experiences where we don't necessarily want to go there, which is exactly what happened now. It's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. It's like, no. Maybe you should. Your ability to express yourself is empowering me, you know, to bring out that dick too, because sometimes that's what needs to happen in order for there to be the, you know, you said intimacy. It's being intimate and having the courage within each of us as an individual, which then that's the part that comes out, because my next thing that I wrote down in terms of what happens, connection, then authenticity, it's connection, then vulnerability, then intimacy. And with intimacy, to me, comes authenticity.
Yeah.
Right? Because then the authentic sense comes out. That's why when you said it before we got on the call, I'm like, yeah, let's go. Because that's the beast in you that, you know, we've experienced in terms of from a business standpoint, because you don't have success in the business that you do without it. Right. But once that connects, authentically, right? Where there's authentic expression internally, which, you know, it's something I struggle with. That's why we get along so well, right? Yeah. At work, we can do it. Another is a life, not so much, right? So,
I agree. And I think in my view, we don't edit that part out at all. Like that's even part of the discussion. Like I wouldn't stop and start. We can debate this in post-production, but I would offer up that that's part of the discussion and the self-editing and is this appropriate or whatever. So I would keep it in. And I also now want to hear, because we stopped sort of mid-thought for you. So I want to hear where you are with this. Yeah.
So it's almost on a daily basis that is me kind of figuring out what happened the day before, where am I at today? Because we're living human beings, right? So we wake up, we feel different every day. And this morning, I woke up kind of going back over the conversations that I had yesterday. And there's two things. One, I keep hearing everyone saying, James, you know, you're so patient, you're so nice. I don't know how you cope with this. I don't know how you let this stuff go. And then at the same time, I'm getting underneath me is bubbling because I'm getting frustrated that people are letting me down. People are saying that they're going to do certain things and they don't deliver. And I'm getting frustrated as hell. And I'm going, well, I'm getting this wrong. And you need to be, you know, badass. You want to run a business. You want to be successful. You want to achieve. You've got to set the standards. You know, you've got to raise the bar and teach people how you want to be treated. And so it's just trying to find that balance. And I thought to myself, you know, today is going to be the day where I am going to be a bit more of a dick. Or not a bit more of a little bit of a dick, and I'm going to be a hard ass, and you know, I'm my level of tolerance is going to be stepping up, because you know it's there's the balance, and I think at the minute I've gone a little bit too soft, and it's just I need to kind of it's almost a point of like upping the game, and me upping my game. It isn't working harder. It isn't focusing more. I have that inherently in me, but it's going, no, enough is enough, and I'm going to achieve X, Y, and Z. And if it's this at the minute is not about me achieving it, it's getting the people around me within the business to help the business achieve it, and I need them to step their game up as well. And you know, at the minute I'm probably going to go through maybe a period of 3-4 days of you know,
knocking some heads together.
Yeah. And then I'll go back to being the natural James. The feminine will kick in a little bit softer. So, yeah.
It's so interesting. In my business, we have positive energy is one of our values. And whole person well-being. And what else? Curiosity. So the sense of you're not ever totally right. You're open and curious and all that. So I've had the same issue where, you know, people could say, well, we're a positive culture. You can't be mad about this or whatever. Like, I feel like walking the line of how do I be me? And I know that I'm my best self when I'm in that positive energy space and lifting people up. But then, you know, shitty things happen in the business or people don't do stuff or whatever. And I even think we hired people and gave people the expectation that, oh yeah, this is a cottage business. It does, you know, it'll, you know, work when you can, because it's your life that matters more. Like, I think sometimes we've given that impression, and now I'm like ready to completely unsell people on working here. Like, this is a privilege to be here. We have these great values. Flexibility and freedom are core to like my soul. So I never want to be like watching where you are and what you're doing. I want you to be able to live and do the work you want to do with extremely high expectations for quality, accessibility, deliverables, like all outcomes, right? Like, I'm ready to say this isn't for everyone. Probably only 10% of the people we meet are gonna love this, and we're gonna love them. But once you're in, we love you and we're here to support the hell out of you. But it's with this like high standard of, and like this uncompromising, like, I'm wondering if you can create a standard and expectation that's uncompromising, and then that way you don't have to be a dick.
Like, it's tricky. And just before Stella jumps in, when you're telling me about that, and I'll just share a little story. It's like, I've got a couple of people that aren't performing, right? And then they'll give me reasons why they're not performing. And instead of me just going, why aren't you performing? You should be doing X, Y, and Z. We agreed that you were going to do 1, 2, and 3 and you haven't done it. I go into, how can I support you? You know, right. What maybe am I not doing? Where have I probably failed? Or where has the business failed that's not been able to? I immediately go to there, which sometimes can work. And sometimes it can actually go against me, because it's instead of being direct, and kind of hitting the issue face on and going, well, why didn't you do 1, 2, and 3? I'm almost going the other way, trying to, you know, is there something going on behind the scenes that I'm not aware about? Is it that you don't have enough support? And I think sometimes it's good to go there, because there are maybe one of the reasons why they're not failing is because we need to look in the mirror a little bit. Why they're failing is because of us. So we need to support more. But sometimes it is about the other person. And I think maybe some companies get it wrong, and they push it back immediately on the person and say, you haven't delivered. You should have done 1, 2, 3 and you didn't. So therefore you're fired, or warning, or X, Y, and Z. But it's just trying to find that balance. I think because we're very conscious people, we're aware of, you know, ourselves and the surroundings and our intuition. I think that's what makes us build an attractive business, that people want to feel like they're part of something, and we make them feel, you know, supportive and involved. But it also leaves us vulnerable to potential victimization, or, you know, these certain things where they take advantage of us.
Yeah. I had a conversation just yesterday about the container we create that we then operate in. And so I was talking to one of my team members about how we were managing a certain colleague, and right out of the gates, it's like, oh, thank you for working with us, and I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but could you take XYZ project? And oh, I don't want to interrupt your lunchtime. And I like all of it, like right out of the gates, because we want to be an accommodating, supportive, balanced place to work. We created a container where I think we created the expectation with that employee that we were in service of them and their ideal conditions. And the challenge there is that the whole community of you know, what we're trying to build, and the other people, suffers in the interest of one. But we, in a way, create that expectation when we're always kind of like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm asking you to do this at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and it's a different time in the world where you live or whatever. Like, we created that expectation. And I wonder, it's like about balance. You're here to do a job. We're excited. We're going to challenge you. We're going to push you. And, you know, we're going to help you and support you in creating your boundaries. But it's not about making things super comfortable for you all the time. Like, there, and I agree, it's not easy. It's not easy. I can be a total hard ass sometimes. And then I'm like, ooh, I'm supposed to be a super positive, supportive, happy, uplifting person. And then I'm like super direct. Like, why didn't you get that shit done? Like, I get, it's like two sides.
Stel, how do we find the balance then? Come on, tell us.
Well, I'll tell, I have a bunch of stories in my head, but I'll say one. And, you know, we were speaking last night, James, and then we were organizing because I'm going to be going to Dubai at the end of January, right?
Why am I not coming? I can't come.
Oh, we're inviting you right now. You know, for me and you, it started, you're busy. Yeah, with us. So we started with connection right from the get-go, right? And when I heard a little bit of the frustration in you, right, I fell asleep because we have 9 hours difference. I woke up this morning and I was fired up with a whole bunch of amazing ideas that stem from a story that happened at a dinner, I don't know, day, whatever. My days are all messed up on Tuesday night. And, you know, you talked about the container, Mary, and it's like, yeah, like we choose who to bring in our container. And sometimes if the boundaries aren't set, there's certain people that come into that container, but what are those boundaries, right? You mentioned values that came up a lot, in the conversation, even on Tuesday night. And, you know, this is the way the story goes, right? So this is the key piece is we have everything within us. And it's being in that resourceful state or what I call higher frequency in order for it to show up, right? Because it will. Mm-hmm. And when we're in alignment with who we are, authentic, right? Like right now, it's like there's authentic expression that's coming out. You bring out something in someone else that then triggers an idea or a story or something that goes on in their minds to then either empower them or disempower them. And in this case, you empowered me. So here's exactly what happened. So I'm in the restaurant and there was two people that I hadn't met yet, right? There's probably about, I don't know, 15, 20 of us. And I walked over there and I introduced myself. Hi, how are you? My name is Stel. And then they introduced themselves and one had an Australian accent. So then I said, oh, where are you from? She goes, Australia. I said, where? She goes, Sydney. I said, oh, I love Sydney. She said, oh, you've been there. And I said, yeah, I've been there once. And I did this really amazing, one of the deepest NLP courses I've ever taken. And then she says, oh, I have an amazing friend that's in Toronto that's a master trainer in NLP. There's only one master trainer in NLP in Toronto, right? And I said, is it Gina? She goes, oh my God, how do you know Gina? Well, Gina was my NLP coach, right? So then we call Gina and Gina shows up at the restaurant. And as Gina walks into the restaurant, she knows one of our other colleagues for the last 20 years. And then there's a deep connection that had already been created from 20 years ago. Where now the whole vibe in the restaurant had shifted. And then there was another person that knew her and everything changed, right? So then you say, okay, well, how did this connection happen? It's been cultivated for many years. And I sat back and I watched this all unfold. Now this is my NLP trainer, right? So you can imagine as I was getting in, trained in NLP, I had to let go of my negative emotions and my limiting decisions and all these other things in order for me to help coach other people. Which then brought up the, how do I connect with myself? What is it that I'm missing here, right? Mm-hmm. So as I'm sitting in there, I'm thinking, holy jumping, look what's showing up and who I'm connected to. And at the depth and level that I'm connected to the people that are closest in there in that room, okay? And it changed everything for me. Why? Because the pressures that are showing up for me, just as much as for you, when you express your frustration, I also have them. But now everything changed because I have two unbelievable colleagues that I'm speaking on this podcast with, and we have fun doing these things, right? Mary, I'm going to see you in a couple of hours and we eat our own cooking. That's the other thing. All the stuff we're talking about is our stories, right? We didn't steal wine glasses, by the way, Mary. I thought about it though.
don't take wine glasses from restaurants. It's very expensive to run a restaurant.
Oh, let me tell you,
it's a cost management business. Do not do it.
I was so tempted just so that I had something to bring to this podcast. Go, oh, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
What you should have done is stolen one and then put it in Mary's handbag.
And then then blame her. It's her.
I get cuffed at the door of the restaurant. Anyway.
So anyways, like Mary, I'm going to see you in a couple of hours and we had an agenda in place. That agenda is going to shift massively now because the thing I wanted to end with the story with is there's one piece that is my unique ability and it's all around vision. Okay. Mm-hmm. And space. So if we can see where we're going and not seeing, but visualize who we are and where we're going and where we're moving towards, then we could lead by example. And then the people that are around us also move with us that believe in this intangible vision that we have of the future. It's kind of like this podcast. Did we know what it was going to look like? What was going to happen? No, you have faith in saying something feels right. Yeah. Let's just do it. And then, you know, launch day happens. We're all excited. The next episode happens. We're all excited. And even honestly, I'm not joking. I saw the wine glasses and I'm like, oh, we got a podcast tomorrow. This would be cool. But where did that come from? Oh yeah. No, I was like, I just want to feel what it was like and then go, hey Mary, guess what? I stashed it in my bag.
But you didn't, because you know what's wrong.
No, I didn't, because I was so busy with everything that happened. It was like I lost myself in that space. It was just amazing.
Okay, so the crux of my question in the beginning of all of this, maybe it's less about the work business, the work life, although I do feel that. I do feel that tension of I'm much more dialed into being my best self. And how do I be my best self with that standard held, as opposed to, in order to be my best self, I have to, you know, be unconditionally supportive of people, whether they show up well or not, right? There's like a difference. Where I find the challenge or maybe the opportunity is, like, I just believe in taking care of my own crap. And so if I have a problem, I solve it. If I want something out of life, I go figure it out. I feel really strongly that I need to be an independent whole person. And I used to say this thing to my husband, which was super unfair. I don't say it anymore, which is, I don't need to be with you. I choose to be with you. And I on some level, I still believe that. Like, it's a choice every day. It's not like a prison sentence, you know?
No, but that's a beautiful thing to say.
I think so. But it's also like, I always have options or whatever. That's not the intention. It's to say.
No. It's saying I actually want to be with you. Yeah.
Right. Right. The flip side of that is anytime I decide I don't want to, it's the I don't need you is the part that's not. The I choose you is great, but I don't need you. Is it okay to need other people? And am I too attached to this sense of independence and self-reliance to not need people?
But I think we all need people, right? Even though we might strive for independence and some more than others, but we can't, if you know the film I Am Legend, right? If we was the only person on this planet, it would be a horrible planet.
Totally.
So we feed from other people. We need people. It's not saying like I can just go out on my own and I'm going to be absolutely fine. I think what you're saying is that I want to be with you. I'm choosing to be with you.
Yeah.
Which I think is lovely.
That is
That's the way it should be, right?
I feel that way. And then there's this little voice in my head that says, am I too independent? Am I too like, and I don't know. I don't know the answer. I would also say I'm super open and vulnerable and gullible and out in the world. And if I believe things, I share them and whatever. Like I do have that side, but I just wonder if there's this part of me that I protect because I believe in self-reliance and independence and all that. I don't know.
It comes both ways, right? Being self-reliant and independent could be a good thing. Okay. And then one of the things I try not to do is say that it's a bad thing. I look at it as saying it could be overdone.
Like overexpressed.
Overexpressed. And the overexpression is basically the perception of the other person. And when you speak into somebody's listening, or when you know who your target is, then you can adjust what level of self-reliance you're going to push out there. Still being self-reliant to yourself, right? This is being true to you, but understanding that expression may impact somebody in either a positive light, depending on the amount, or a not so positive light if it's perceived as overdone, right? So I don't know what example would be, but it's like, imagine now, you know, you make the decision at work, or somebody makes a decision at work, and there's everybody at the office is, you know, the way that they love doing things is as a group, right? They want to work together. They want to make things happen. And you come in with self-reliant, or we come in because I have the same trait, and it's we do with excitement, we mean well, right? And then it's like, okay, what we're gonna do is do. Well, they're hearing that you're taking charge and doing things, but in actuality, you're going, I'm just expressing me so that we can actually group to work together and move. That's not how they perceive it.
Right.
So it's, and this goes to communication, right? And how do we connect? What is it that our intention isn't in connecting with ourselves and with other people and as a group, right? And it's kind of like now, like we get on this podcast and we're not really prepared. It's not like we sit back and say, okay, let's figure
don't
out
tell
our answers.
Anyone still.
Well, we're not. It's the truth. if we're gonna be mischievous, man, you can't think about it. You just do it.
Yeah.
No, but this is
improv.
That interconnection happens where you're kind of going, oh, okay, you just gave me an idea. And then it allows for there again to be that expression that happens. So, you know, with one other thing I wanted to say is that the overdone piece sometimes comes from a place of conflict. Right. So if we do things or we did things as kids, either we shut down or we overexpress and that inner child comes out because we get uncomfortable. Now, all of a sudden, we want to connect, but don't necessarily know how to and hope other people connect with us, especially as givers.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a cry for help, but we're not being heard and understood. And if we're busy and we're really good at hearing and understanding other people, it gets frustrating. So anyways, I'll stop there and I'll keep you guys going. But okay, I have a question for you guys, though, that was posed to me yesterday. And it was fascinating, right? So the question is, what life do you want to live as you?
That's a big...
And you don't need to answer. It's a big question, right? But I'm curious to start the conversation on this thing because, you know, it's the life that you want as you, right? So everything revolves around, okay, what actually is that I want, right?
If and you, then, you as today or you as you would like to be in, say, 5-10 years?
So the question was the life you want to live as you, right?
Well, for me, yeah, I interpret that as this moment, the life I want to live as me. You know what? I think it's the life I'm living.
Which is?
Walking in the snow and launching the podcast.
With a cute pink hat on.
Yeah. My daughter's pink hat, like literally her, I think she was 8 and I was like, oh, I like that hat. It's an ancient hat now. She's 17. Living a life where I get to do what I want to do, what I love doing. So like, I feel like the work that I get to do, I'm incredibly grateful to be able to do. It feels like a mission, not a job. The people I get to connect with, like just in like the minute I made the decision to start the business and the networks I'm leaning into, meeting you guys, like this bubble that I'm going to say I've built around me because that all those are choices, feels like an incredibly rewarding, life-affirming, positive, supportive bubble. And then the energy from that just, it grows. It grows. And so
it compounds.
Yeah, it compounds. So I'm sure that 5 years from now, I'll look back at this moment and say, well, I've also learned about this, that, and the other thing. And I'm even more myself today than I was. But in this moment, I'm living the life I would like to as me. Is that the question? Like right now?
Yeah.
I feel very grateful for that. I
have a quick question on that because we did just talk about for you, Mary, on independent. Would you like to, where does independence for you and being strong and self-reliant come into that in the next 10 years for you?
Well, what's interesting is this is I asked the question because I don't even know if I have a problem with it. I do know that when I enter things and I'm uncomfortable, I look to myself to fix it. I don't easily go. I know I don't know everything about running a business. We'll use that as an example. I know I'm really good at the thing that I do and then the culture that I want to build and like all the things related to that. But there are other things that I'm not good at. And I'm not good at asking for help. I'm good at being curious and being like, you know more than me. And so like, I'll ask the questions to learn, but I'm not good at like the, can I lean on somebody? I don't know. And so I wonder if I'm missing something. And maybe the answer is no, but I'm just wondering if I'm missing access to a world where I could lean on people.
And... So maybe soften the independence a little bit and the self-reliance bit.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe if I let other people in to help solve with me, then I would feel better. It would be more rewarding. It's weird. It's a hard thing to describe.
But then maybe we can't, right? Because then that's like changing our unique, but like that's you, right? That's your unique skill set. Right. That's what's made you great at doing what you're doing, because you built it around being strong and self-reliant. So Stel, could she even soften that, do you think, if she wanted to?
It's not a softening. I think it's more expansion for me, right? Mm. Because you just said it. It's, you know, because I wrote something similar. That's why I'm asking the question.
Oh, right? Interesting. Yeah.
And once it's perspective now, right? So once you've enlarged your perception of where you sit into this space, right? So, you know, you mentioned the box. It's like the box just got really big right now.
Yeah.
So once that box gets that big, and then you start seeing like the strengths, right? Because now it's, yeah, I'm self-reliant. And look what that self-reliant independent did. I mean, it literally launched this podcast quickly. Yeah. Right? Why? Because it was important for this to get out there, because there's a much bigger picture that's involved here. Okay. Yeah. And my question, because I'm the same, like I have a really hard time asking for help, but not as much anymore, because I know that it's so big. There's no way I can do this by myself. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like I actively, and it's asking for support with the bigger picture of what it is that I was put on this earth to do.
Mm-hmm.
And now everything changes where I go, yeah, I can be self-reliant by asking for the support now to make this thing like launch, right? Like James, I kind of know how you'd answer this question.
Do you? Because I don't.
I know. Oh, this is great. I know. But this is why it's interesting. And one of the reasons I texted you, go, I have an idea. Because what I see within our group is when one of us has friction, right? There's this potential energy that's sitting there that's exploding, because I see how big it is with what we're doing, including this podcast. I think we're mischievous about what, you know, how we can break models and create movements that are literally going to change this world through conversations like this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, you say, what's the life you want to live as you, you know, your uniqueness comes into this thing, but it's kind of hard to see when we're stuck in a place of tension or friction in our lives. But that's the advantage of having networks and connections and communities that we're all involved in. Right. And well, I'll share mine and then see if it triggers something in you. And it's very, very close to what Mary was saying, because I'm like, I don't know what's the life of me. And then there was another part that was added to this, and it was from Krista Clive Smith, who's amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah. She posed this question to me, but she also said, I also want you to consider that sometimes when you decide that you want to do things, also pay attention if it impacts other areas in your life. So some people will say, I want to be me as the best motivational speaker in the world, traveling all over the place. And it's like, okay, but the family's not coming with me now. Oh no. Right. Mm-hmm. Which is stuck in a small space. But if I say, what is it that's me? You know, this is actually what I wrote. I mean, a bit of it, it's in the works, but be a visionary leader and transformational coach who empowers individuals to unlock their potential and create impactful, purpose-driven lives. Right now, I wrote down empowers individuals, right? And unlock their potential. That includes my sons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, how does that happen? Well, it's by leading by example, by being me and the authentic me that I need to embrace even more at a level to then accept that part of me, including being self-reliant and independent. Okay. Now, helping people reframe the past and redesign a compelling future. I inspire leaders to embrace their authentic essence, balance masculine and feminine energies, right? Get things done versus the empathy connected in them, and lead movements. Okay. And I emphasize the word movements that make a lasting global impact. Okay. That's me. I've never played small, period. Mm-hmm. Every team, it's like, we're winning the championships and beyond, like the mindset set up that way. Okay. But there's the self-reliant and independent part of me that became the captain And it wasn't because I was reliant. No, because I could be me to lead the team in the direction of we're winning this thing. But there's no question, right? Same thing with you. Like, you guys, it's like Meaningful Mischief. You know, the podcast is going to be amazing. I know it. I could feel it. Okay, but that's me. And the life I want to live is to be around the energy, is to be around the community, is to be in the bubble, is to be deeply connected. So my number one value in most areas of my life, if not all, and if it's not first, it's second, is deep connection. Connection. Not
Can
just
I ask you
connection,
a question?
Deep connection.
How do you know you have deep connection?
You feel it.
Not only do I feel it, it actually shows up. And one word I use is in flow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. When things just work out. Okay. And it's like there's a connection. Okay. And then all of a sudden things show up where you're like, oh my God, like, wow, how did that show up? And you go, okay, those are coincidences, synchronicities. No, they're not. Those are signs to say you're there. You're going into that. Now it sounds fun and easy. It's not. Okay, because within the path of knowing and you could feel it also includes when challenges show up, mm-hmm. right? And how do you get through those challenges? What do they mean? How do they, you know, what's it mean for you? And how do you sustain that? Safety is the piece here now where sometimes it's not going to feel safe in a connection that's that deep. Okay, and how do you then move from safety to vulnerability where you open authentically and now express genuinely, and now that connection gets even deeper. Okay, so it's a process.
Yeah, I just think that those are big words, like vulnerability. Like they're like a lot of people, those words we use a lot and we kind of intellectually get them. But how do you, like, what does it mean to feel safe? What does it mean to be vulnerable? What does it mean to feel intimate with someone? Like, they're big topics to break down, and I think we can relate to them, like understand them intellectually, but do we?
Can I answer this?
Yeah.
And put a little bit of action around it? Because, and this goes into my answer of who I want to be, right? And what mm-hmm. I want to do. So when you were sat, and for the people listening to the podcast, if they've not listened to the first few episodes, we met in a coaching course in Toronto. Mary sat in a completely different table across the other side of the room. And I have been friends with Stel for a couple of years, and we always sit close to each other, if not next to each other, holding hands under the table.
On each other.
You guys are
and
adorable.
As soon as and Mary, when someone, there was a conversation within the group, Mary did her thing, what she does amazingly in front of the group, and she just started to blurb. And I was like, wow, this woman is shining. She has credibility and blah, 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 blah. I'm not saying this to blow smoke up your backside, but
keep going.
But I was like, holy S, we need to connect with her. Okay. And then the next quarter, we never really got chance. The next quarter, Stella already got in there before me because this is where we have this synchronicity, right? And I was like, the woman in the back of the room, and Stella was like, yeah, no, Mary, yeah. I've already connected with her. We're doing this. And she's sitting next to us on our table, right? You don't know this. We've not spoke about this before. When I heard you two talking and was obviously connecting within the group, my mind then went, we need a podcast together, the three of us. So I saw it and felt it even before. And even though we're talking about trust, we're talking about vulnerability, we're talking about being open, like none of this is scripted. This is just us being us, right? And it works. I think it works. But it's only working, I think, to maybe 20, 30% of the capacity of our ability. And I think this is the same with Stel, with the vision piece, and it's allowing people, and my unique ability is creating that safe space for people to open up and trust and be vulnerable to enable me to help them and guide them and support them. And Stel does that as well through his vision. And Mary, you do that as well through helping people in the same way with the connection, story branding. You put vision around it. You bring a team in and everything. And we do the same thing. We create a safe space to where people open up. They share things that they've never really shared. And it might be friends. It might be clients. It might be family. It might be loved ones. But I think this is what we do. And for me, I want exactly what we do here in the podcast. I want to do many more things of these because it gives me energy, it gives me enjoyment, it gives me passion. But it's not actually not about this. It's about the impact that this is going to have on the world or the people. So I love this, yeah. And I love that we hang out and all these things. But what will really kind of get me going is seeing the impact that what we do creates on others.
And the thing, Mary, I can answer the question in terms of the safety because you provided it for me. And it's easy for the listeners to experience it. Because you're right. I mean, they're big words. But when we did the work together and you're trying to pull out this brand in me that is natural, like I don't know. People ask me, what is your brand? I don't know. Just this is what I do. And I mentioned it in the previous podcast where you said, what were the three, you can tell me exactly what it was, because this is how I heard it, but the three pivotal moments in your life. And right away, I went to the most difficult one and talk about if I didn't feel comfortable and connected to you, I don't know if I would have shared it. Right. So by that safety or the space that you gave me, just the fact that I expressed it and the way that you received it and how all of a sudden it became a part of my brand, I own it now in such a positive way that again, you gave me the safety. I was vulnerable enough to open the story and then authentically express it, which now, you know, the next level that we all have, okay, is the intimacy piece. Right. And that's where it's a connection at a much deeper level that allows the conversations to deepen even more because it doesn't stop. Right. And then that's the expansive component of it saying, okay, is there going to be a global impact here? I don't know. You know, do I want there to be? Absolutely. You know, should everybody, you know, understand all these concepts and then us deepening in ourselves? Absolutely. Okay. But that's the best way I can explain it personally. And one more thing, just so that everybody knows the connection that I have with you two. When James and I were speaking about what we do with high-income families and how we help them, and he works with the parents of the families, I work with the kids of the families, and that's how we connected. He knew right away that there was something that I had that should get out in the world. And then I saw that there's something he has that should get out in the world, and it had nothing to do with eyeballs and finance. Yeah. Okay. And then he came up with an idea. He goes, Stel, come. I want you to talk to seven people that I think could benefit with us. He said you, but it was us in what we do. And man, I felt totally uncomfortable. But the trust that I had in him, I go, let's do it. And it was magical. The experience was magical. And then it deeply connected us even more because it wasn't easy. Like it wasn't a simple, oh, yay, this sounds great. Let's go to Disneyland. So anyways, I hope that put some.
What would we say to people then? Because like I feel all of that. And I think when I'm dialed into my best self and what I want, like my true intention, like my honest intention and love for the world and love for people, that creates a space to be open to real connection. And so I do believe that it kind of invites people who think and believe the same things in, right? Which is why this bubble's growing. What would we say to people? Because I don't think I think it's a common feeling. Like I am driven, I am, you know, successful or trying to be successful or whatever. Like, what would we say to people is like, what's the way to bring openness, connection, create safety, vulnerability, whatever? Like, what would one takeaway be for somebody listening who's like, yeah, like I get it. I have to be a dick at work too. And yeah, I get it. I don't know how to ask for help. Like I know we don't have the solution, but I'm like, what would I say to somebody who's listening around that? I mean, for me, I guess the one thing would be is to really dial into the truest part of yourself. And that's an ever-changing thing. You know, like I said, 5 years from now, it'll be different than it is today. But the thing that helps me most in the good times and the bad times, in the great connections and the challenging ones, is to be like, at least I've got my barometer of who I am and how I want to show up. And then from there, good things happen. That's all I could say at this point. I don't have any magical answer for anyone.
I think it's a difficult answer because I think it's personalized. But for example, listening to you, Mary, and this might help anybody for themselves, if I was to say, you know, a bit of advice and maybe go and try something for you based on what you've said today, I would either go and ask somebody for help and use the word help, because I think you have maybe a bit of a thing around the word help, or even go to the people that have helped you and say, thank you for helping me. Maybe that would be a starting point as a first step. And then beyond that, I go and just say, look, can you help me with this?
And Do you know what's funny is I'm having like an aversion to this help.
Of course. Of course, because you're out your comfort zone.
Yeah, so interesting.
And I think that's the point, right, is maybe asking your inner self, like, where is there some conflict? Like for me, being a dick, it's not easy for me to try and go out there. So I say, right, this week, I'm going to go and have two or three really strong conversations that might be uncomfortable, but just to put myself out there a little bit for the greater good.
Yeah, I think for you, it's be you with really high uncompromising standards. So don't be the dick, but be you. And then also have this, like, this is the bar and you reach it or you're out. And that's not a dickish thing to do. That's just like clarity.
Mm-hmm. The one thing, so I'll make a suggestion for the listeners to do, which was mind blowing for me. I'm learning more about AI. And so I have the subscription for ChatGPT 4.0. I don't know how much it is a month. But what I did, or what was suggested, is that you take anything that you've done, values, mission statement, personal mission statements, things that are important to you. If nobody's done any of these evaluations, which I highly recommend, which we talked about, I think, in the first episode, you take
the personality assessments,
any of them, it doesn't matter, or all of them, or whichever ones interest you. Okay. And dump the results into ChatGPT. Okay. Any accomplishments that you've made, anything that's important to you, what values are important to you, just dump it all in there. Okay. As much as possible. Then, and I think you could put it under the personal profile of your personal profile, then ask ChatGPT to give you an indication of who you are.
ChatGPT, why do I resist asking for help based on all these things? That's what you're saying.
So for you, Mary, ask ChatGPT for help. It's amazing with what comes out, because you're gonna hear something that is gonna trigger where it's natural for you. It's not, but when it puts it together, it'll trigger an idea to deepen your connection with yourself first. That's my recommendations.
That's a great idea. Very cool.
Yeah, this is fun.
Shall we wrap this one?
Do we have wrapping questions or comments?
No, I would just say, try and do some self-evaluation, like through the tests or any of the things that we discussed, but maybe just try and, everything is on the other side of the comfort zone, right? For all of us. Like, none of us have ever achieved anything in life by being in a comfort zone. So it's just, it doesn't have to be completely head on, but just a little bit outside, push the boundaries a little bit.
Yeah. Love it. Thanks, guys. This is fun.
Oh, we're done.
I'll report it next week. Can you help me? That's it. Have a great day.
You guys are awesome.
Have a great week. We'll see you
next
week. Thanks.
You guys are awesome. Thanks. Bye, everybody. See you soon.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.